We are continuing to think about the journey with Jesus in our moments together. Today we want to just pick up where we left off last time in Matthew 4 and verse 18 through the end of the chapter. And let's stand together as we honor God's word. Matthew 4 verse 18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he told me, 'And I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan." And Heavenly Father, we are so amazed at the way the Word of God directs us to consider Jesus and to see the marvels of his life. And as we journey with him this morning, may you just continue to touch us, strengthen us, deepen us in our understanding of your word and your strength and your peace and grace. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And as we have our theme this morning is really following Jesus, and we've been obeying him. He told us to do this in remembrance of him as we celebrated communion together. And so our theme is just following him today. Now, people follow all kinds of things, don't they? They follow all kinds of leaders. Some follow sport. Do we hear a little cheer for the Riders this morning? I thought that might be a hit. It's nice to be on top of the league, isn't it? But let's not be proud and boastful, and because you know what happens if we are. Yeah. Some people follow politics. Our news is full of it these days as we prepare for an election. And as we've said this morning, continue to pray and just to seek God about that. And some people follow the stock market. I had a friend in Ireland when I was young, and he had millions of pounds. But he told me, "I'm up at 3:30 every morning, and I walk the roads sweating till the stock market opens, because I could lose it all just like that." You know, people follow all kinds of things, don't they? And as we think about this text, journeying with Jesus, the first thing that we want to see is there is a call. Jesus himself is the one who gives the call. And it is a call to him. "Follow me," he said. And it is then a call to follow him exclusively and to be first in following him. In Luke 14, the Word of God, the Bible, gives us three illustrations that are used to help us understand that. There's an invitation to a wedding in Luke 14, and there are three responses that are given to it, three excuses, if you will, for not following and not accepting the invitation. The invitation to the wedding is the invitation to know Christ and to embrace him as Savior and Lord. Those three excuses end up being, "I can't follow because I have an unfinished building. And a second excuse is, I can't follow because I have an unfought battle. And a third one is, I can't follow because I've gotten married and I'm too busy. But the challenge there is that we can become unusable salt. Following Him is what brings that life into our hearts and into our souls. And Jesus calls us to discipleship, and we know it will always be tested. And it's always a good thing when we think about the call to think about the fact that that's a call for every day and for every situation. What is my first call? It is to follow Him. And as we would seek to do that, there are lots of unworthy ways that people would seek to follow Jesus. In John chapter 6, we find a few of them. There's some who follow Him in John chapter 6 because it's fashionable. It's the thing to do. And wow, if everybody's doing it, I'm going to do it too. Isn't that what we so often hear? Well, everybody's doing it. But that's not really the reason for following Him. It has nothing to do with being fashionable or being with the in crowd. It has everything to do with honoring Him as Lord and Savior of our lives. And in that same chapter, we see there are those who follow Him because it's kind of a favorable thing. If you follow Him, you get fed. They discovered that He could take bread, just a little bit of bread and fish, and feed thousands of people. Wow, that's kind of favorable. Just think, follow Jesus, no grocery bill. Woo! But it's the wrong reason to follow Him. He even says that Himself in John chapter 6. He says, you came because of the bread. And my Father gave bread from heaven, manna. But you see, the reason to follow Him is quite different, isn't it? It's a reason to follow Him because we love Him. I like this verse, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I like it because it has a conditional promise. It says, follow me, that's straightforward, and I will make you. I will make you. So there is not only in this text a call, but there is a conversion. These in Matthew 4 followed Him immediately, it says. They followed Him completely or unreservedly. And they followed Him at His invitation because He's the one that really is the answer to all of those things that we face in life. Who will help me? He will. Who will be there when nobody else is? He will. Who is it that can carry me through all the difficulties of this life? He can, and He will. Who is it that can take me to heaven, to an eternity with God the Father? He can, and there is no other. Now, what would I say? There is a conversion here. Because, you see, a choice had to be made. He is saying, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I could say this morning, follow me. But you would have to make a choice, wouldn't you? You would have to decide, can I trust that? Is this someone that I can trust my life into their hands? And Jesus, of course, is calling them to follow Him. So they're making a clear choice. But to follow somebody, you have to trust them. And that's not so easy, is it? You see, it's easy sometimes just to follow when the path is clear. But when troubles come along, and when difficulties start to mount up, we need to trust. We need to rely upon the promise of His Word. Follow me. And that's perhaps where that old saying comes from. What would Jesus do? If we are following Him and those things come along, that's a good thing to ask. What would you do, Lord? Let me keep my eyes upon you. Let me see your way in all of this. Trusting. Okay, so there was a tightrope walker called Blondin. And he was an amazing man. He could do things on a tightrope that nobody else could do. And somebody said to him, I'll bet you couldn't go across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And he said, I'll bet you I could. And so they put a tightrope across Niagara Falls. And if you've been there, you know that that's quite a chasm. And they tightened it up to the right tension and so on. And Blondin, he got up on that wire and just boogied. He danced on it. He twisted on it. He turned around. He did flips on it. And then he came over to the crowd at the side and he said to them, how many of you believe that I could take somebody in a wheelbarrow right across the falls? And everybody said, believe, I believe, yeah, yeah. Who's going to be first? That's different. His agent actually got in the wheelbarrow and was taken across and brought back. And you see, the agent trusted him. And it's like that when we follow Jesus. There's that sense of, I'm going to trust you. Yes, the waters are roaring underneath. Yes, there are all kinds of things. But Lord, I'm going to trust you. That's what a conversion is. It is a change on the inside that places trust in the Lord Jesus as Savior. And you see, that promise calls us to leave something. These men in this text were fishermen. And I believe they were good and great fishermen. But they had to leave everything that they knew and just trust Him. Now, you know, our society would be quite happy with Christians who just add Jesus to the list. Yes, I've got science and I've got understanding and I've got intellect somewhere over here there's Jesus. But the Scriptures call us to follow Christ. Not to add Him to other things, but to make Him the Lord of it all. And they had to take up that life with Him. You see, follow me and I will make you fishers of men implies that Jesus is about to make them something more. Something so much more. And this is the glorious power of the gospel of Christ. That there is something above all the scratching and itching, all the pushing and shoving, all of the stuff of the world. You know, it sounds like I'm getting Irish. Hallelujah, I am. I get so tired of this world and its claims. If only you had this, you should get that, you should do this, you should do that. You should follow Christ because only He is the one who can say, and I will make you. Think about it. What is it that we lack that the Holy Spirit cannot bring into our hearts and into our lives? Listen, there is a conversion here because these men, all four of them, went on all the way to death, sometimes the death of a martyr for three of them, because they knew that Jesus could make them into something more, something stronger, something far above anything that this world could offer or could give. That's what it is to journey with Jesus. Follow me, he said, and I will make you. In about a month's time, in the will of God and by God's grace only, I hope to be in Ivory Coast. And one of the things I'll do in the 6 days that I'm there, God willing, if the Lord gives me life and breath and health and strength, is to speak to 40 graduates of a Bible school. And this is what I want to tell them. Follow Christ, and he will make you. Follow Christ, and he will give you the strength and the power. Follow Christ, and he will bring the answers into all of those stories and situations. Follow Christ, and when you're under fire, he is the one who will be there. I heard a young black preacher one day sharing with other preachers his message outline from Daniel about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, when you first see them, they're on fire for God. And the next thing you see is they're under fire because they're living for God. And the next time that you see them, they're in the fire. But praise God, he said, the last time that we catch a glimpse of them, they're through the fire. Follow him, and he will make you. I guess I should settle down. I'm not a politician and I'm not political, but I encourage you in these days, pray, regardless of whatever banner men and women come under, that they would be people who would follow Christ. There is this sense of conversion that they're leaving and trusting him and following him. And he will make. What will he make? He made those who were timid courageous. He made those who had no education knowledgeable. He made those who were weak strong. He made those who had nothing totally prepared to live life in the power of God. He made them world changers. Oh. How glorious is this? There's a third thing, and then I promise we'll wrap it up so we'll be done close to time. There's a communion in this text. They watched Jesus. Imagine these four men having left everything and just following him. And what is it that they see as they follow him? These last verses from 23 through 25 tell us that after they left their nets and the fishing and everything, they see that he goes about teaching, preaching the gospel, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Wow. Imagine. To commune with Christ. One of those four at his side, as someone sick comes and he says, I'm willing, let me pray for you. As someone troubled, perhaps possessed of an evil spirit and set free in an instant. What does this world have to offer compared to the things that Christ can do? Nothing. Nothing. They watched him heal. They knew his truth, and his truth is speaking still. What is it that is the greatest longing in the human heart? It is this, to walk in communion with God. And to know that he lives on the inside and I am walking with him. That's where the confidence comes from, to be able to step out and share his love. His spirit at work, touching and healing and drawing and so on. Following. Peter followed him. But in Mark 14, we see that Peter took a little bit of a turn just for a little bit. Because in Mark 14, it says that Peter, when Jesus was arrested, followed him afar off. In Matthew chapter 4, Peter made that decision and commitment, and he was there at the Savior's elbow as those remarkable things were happening all through those years. But when Jesus is arrested and it looks as if things are not working out the way Peter thought they should, it says he's walking afar off. Why would we do that? Because it's safe. But Jesus didn't call us to be safe. Don't you love in the Chronicles of Narnia where it's somebody says about Aslan, the lion, is he safe? No, he's not safe. Peter followed afar off because it seemed safe. It seemed sensible. It seemed like, well, I don't want to get too close to those Roman guards. I'll just tippy-toe back here a bit. Maybe I won't get noticed. But there's something about that Jesus. And you know, when you think about it, even the fact that he followed afar off, it was still more than the others did. But Peter was miserable. And life will always be miserable when we don't have that close communion with Jesus. That close, close touch. And so, as he calls to them, and there is this conversion and this communion, it is to remind you and I today that we have an invitation day by day to follow him, and he will make us what we need to be. Our challenge is to follow because we love him, not because we want something from him. Now this morning, for time's sake, we won't sing that closing hymn. But I want you to think with me as we move toward a closing prayer. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you. What is it that is that area of weakness in your life? What is it that you would say, Lord, like Peter, I want to follow you, and I don't want it to be afar off. I want it to be in close communion, filled with your Spirit. Father, would you minister to our hearts in these moments, just quietly? You know the thing that's in each mind and heart. Perhaps it's courage that's missing. Perhaps it's that sense of, I'm nobody. I can't do anything. Perhaps it's that sense of, oh, I have so many things, so many challenges in my life, so many things that have overcome me. But Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you. Nothing can be stronger than the promise of God. And so our challenge and call is to say, Lord Jesus, by your grace and for your glory, would you touch me afresh? And let me hear in my heart again that still small voice of your Holy Spirit that says, follow me. Lord, forgive us because so often we have our eyes on others and what they're doing or what they might do. But you tell us, follow me. And you told Peter at the end of John's gospel, when he asked what John would do, you simply said, what's that to you? You, follow me. Lord, that's the cry of our heart this morning. We long just to follow you. And if that's the desire of your heart this morning, let me ask you, would you just stand with me and say by standing, Lord, I surrender to you. I want to follow you no matter what. Take a moment and just stand where you are. Oh, what a wonderful call. What a wonderful conversion he gives. What a wonderful opportunity for communion with him. Master, you see our hearts, you know our lives. You know the longing that we have, and you know that we cannot do it unless you fill us with your Spirit and enable us. So, Lord, we take you at your promise today, and we say, I will follow you, Lord. And we trust that you will make us into whatever you would desire we should be. And now, Father, would you add your blessing to our time today? May the blessing of God the Father and the love of God the Son and the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit be in every heart and in every life throughout the days of this week. And Father, let us rest on your promise. You will make us. In Jesus' strong name we pray. And God's people said, Amen. God bless you.